Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Sports Radio 610 welcomes you back alongside Cecil Shorts III, former Texan wide receiver. I'm Sean Bajani in for Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner today. Tyler Milner along the way producing, doing a great job helping us out. So Football at 4 today. I saw this in the Houston Chronicle yesterday. I thought it was a fair question, but I've got a better one. Actually, you came up with a better question, Cecil. But the article by Greg Rajan from the Houston Chronicle, Texas Sports Nation, was: four cities, zero Super Bowls. Who's worn it the worst? This week, actually, the slate of games features two games in four cities that play each other that have never been to a Super Bowl. Never mind hosting one, but have been to a Super Bowl themselves. And that is the Houston Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Washington Redskins, and the Detroit Lions. So I'm not going to ask you guys the question of, like, all right, what city's been the most miserable? I'm not interested in that necessarily. All right, we could go on and on about that. But, you know, it is the week of Thanksgiving. I figured we'd keep it a little bit more positive.
There you go.
So you asked the question of who actually has the better chance of going to their first one amongst those teams. Texans, Lions, the Washington football team, or the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No, not Washington. Texans, Browns, Lions.
Oh, I said Jaguars. My bad. I was thinking of the Thanksgiving Day game. Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
My bad. Yeah. Ooh, Browns, so, Texans, Jags, and Lions. Who goes first?
First, I would have going up. If we're going off today, I'd say the Browns. The Browns, 7-3. They're in a good position. Defense is playing pretty good. They're running the heck out of the football.
That's an easy one.
So I would say they're first. Now, like you mentioned, 2 through 4 is extremely tough.
It's really hard for me. You and I are actually in agreement on all of these, but we went back and forth, and you rested on my favorite, and it's only my favorite because of the quarterback situation, and that's the Texans.
Yep. There'll be two.
There's too much unknown beyond that.
Beyond that, I don't know.
And I'm talking about beyond that here with this organization.
No, we don't really
know too much, but beyond that as well.
But that's
good enough.
We don't
know about the Jags and the Lions.
We've seen him firsthand to know, hey, and he can be in any type of game, right? He'll keep you in any game. And if you can figure out a way to fix some cap room like we talked about and fix everything else, you got a real shot of him taking you to the Super Bowl.
You're talking about Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
I haven't – this is just a future stat maybe I'm going to do a little homework on later. I told you, Tyler, I think of these weird things that I want to research and waste my time with, but I'd like to see the stat on – quarterbacks to start their career in the NFL, who's played in the most one-score games? I'll bet you Deshaun Watson is right up there. if you think about it, go back to just 3 years ago. They played like 7 or 8 one-score games, did they not? That 9-7 season where every single win was an ugly one.
Wait, which 9-7 season? I'm just...
yeah. The one 2 years ago. 2018. And then this year, they played in 4 one-score games. I can't remember how many they played in last year, but, I mean, my gosh.
So who do you have after the Texans? Browns, Texans, we agree on that.
Just because of recent history and a lot of the guys that are still there were there when they took Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots to the brink in the AFC Championship game. I have to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. I agree. I think they're in good position, too, in the offseason to make some moves. They got 2 first-round picks. I believe they have 2 second-round picks. They got a bunch of draft picks from the Julian Edelman trade and the other trades they made this offseason. So I would have them 3. And I'm going to be honest with you. The Lions, I have seen them. They have been trash for the longest time in my life. Like, I have never seen consistently good Lions teams. Every now and then, they'll creep up and make the play, the wild card maybe, or win 9 games or something. But they've been consistently bad over and over and over and over again. So I think they'll be 4th on my list.
The Detroit Lions, 54 seasons without a Super Bowl, just 12 playoff appearances during that stretch,
wow,
and a playoff record of 1-12. Their last playoff appearance just came 4 years ago in 2016.
And I feel bad for Stafford because Matthew's good. Matt's good. Stafford's a good quarterback.
He's like the most forgotten, least talked about, really good quarterback in the NFL since he's come in, right?
He's solid. His arm strength is there. He doesn't have the wins, I don't think.
No, he doesn't have the wins.
Doesn't have the wins, but I mean, statistic-wise,
I mean, how many 4,000-yard seasons has he thrown for?
Talent-wise, he's special. It's just, it sucks because the quarterback gets all the wins and losses, right? You got to win a certain amount of games. You got to go Super Bowl. You got to do this. You got to do that. It's not just that. I mean, it takes more to win than a quarterback, right? A quarterback's a huge piece. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel bad for him being in the Lions situation.
Oh, no question about that. I was trying to look at how many 4,000-yard seasons Matt.
He's a baller, man. He is a baller. I mean, he had Calvin Johnson for all those years. He got Kenny Galladay now. Like, he's a baller, man.
7 straight years of 4,200-plus yards thrown.
Like, he's going to have Hall of Fame numbers. If he continues this the next 5, 6 years, he's going to have Hall of Fame numbers, if not already. He's going to have Hall of Fame numbers.
He's probably got Hall of Fame numbers already in comparison to, like, quarterbacks that played 15, 20, 30 years ago.
You know, now, times have changed, right?
Times have changed, yes.
Different game, styles of game. But say he plays another 5 years. That's fair. Plays another 5 years. He'll probably be Hall of Fame numbers-wise. I'm not saying he'll get in.
No.
But he'll have Hall of Fame numbers that you got to consider as a sports writer, like John McClain. Would you put Stafford in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's a funny question, you know, now that I'm thinking about it. Ever since Tom Brady a few years ago said he wanted to play till he was 45 years old, like a handful of quarterbacks have come out and said the same thing, right? Do you think Matthew Stafford at the age of 32 is going to be saying, yeah, I'd like to play till I'm 45 years old? Not with the Lions.
Not with the Lions. Listen, Barry
Sanders.
He
could have a whole other career somewhere else, man.
Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. They all retire early if they're still in Detroit.
I mean, my gosh. Okay, so there's the four, right? And we're all in agreement. The Browns, Texans, Jags, and Lions. 1 through 4, if we power ranked them now. The teams that have never played, the cities that have never played in a Super Bowl, if they were to go, that's who would go in order right now. And I hope we can put the Texans at number one. List.
Yeah, for sure.
Here in the inside of the next 6 months, I'm just hoping. Here's another story that caught my eye this weekend, and you feel absolutely terrible about it. But Joe Burrow, the injury was now worse than first reported. You saw the injury from Joe Burrow this past weekend. With the Cincinnati Bengals. Just, they've had a rough season, but man, he was on the verge of making NFL history, about to throw for 300 plus yards in his 6th straight game. No rookie quarterback has come into the league and done that. He had the opportunity to do it. Goes down in the third quarter with 203 yards thrown at the time of the injury. Did you watch any of that game? The play that you'd think he'd have been carted off on, he got smoked by somebody going for the right pylon in the end zone.
Chase Young.
It was Chase Young.
Chase killed.
Good call. Yeah. He just looked absolutely like he got mauled. And, you know, he gets up, and I see his right foot slip out. I'm like, oh, boy, torn ACL right there. No, it took a whole nother quarter for that to happen, and then some. Every L that you possibly could have torn, he pretty much did. ACL, MCL, he's going to have his knee totally rebuilt, it looks like
reconstructive. Yeah.
The odd thing about that is, if you know anything and have been watching and reading up on Alex Smith's story the last 2 years, a guy that almost died on the operating table.
Yeah.
He's playing in that game.
Yeah.
Got his first win in 742 days in that game because of what happened and transpired in that game. You've got to be absolutely just, your heart hurts for that guy if you're Alex Smith and watching Joe Burrow go down like that. The number one overall pick.
I mean, Joe Burrow has shown us like how much talent he really has, like how much of a bright future he really has. Yeah. He is going to be special, and I still think he can be, right? Just with everything going on in today with the science and the rehab everything, if he takes his time and he works hard, I'm sure he was a young guy. He'll come back and he'll be all right. But to see that from an older perspective, Alex Smith going everything he went through, and being a little older, being about 37, 38 years old, and understanding what he put at risk and how he almost lost his life and everything he went through, 17 surgeries, I think it was, that had to be a little emotional for him.
Just an incredible, ironic, horribly ironic day. Yeah. Got to be for Alex Smith to see that. But, you know, I'm also, injury aside, I also get very excited when number one overall picks, especially quarterbacks, work out, because you had your naysayers, people spinning the negative narrative around Joe Burrow, and he was a flash in the pan, you know, LSU, they had that one great season, and now look at him right now. Well, you know, look at him right now without Joe Burrow at quarterback. I think that makes more of a case for that team now, but I like it when guys pan out that have so many naysayers about them. So that's huge.
And it's fun because he got a lot of young guys around him. You know what I mean? Yeah. They just gave him Joe Mixon. They're giving Joe Mixon a nice contract, but he's a young back. You got T. Higgins making plays.
Joe Mixon, another
Tyler Boyd making plays.
Comeback story, to be honest with you. Mixon, so with everything that happened to him a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I'm glad he's, you know, on the right
Large
foot
part
now.
Large part his doing.
I'm glad he's on the right foot now, doing things right he should foot. Be doing. But when you surround him with weapons, oh, man, he's making play after play after play. And eventually, I think the Bengals will be something to reckon with down the line.
Yeah, watching these fun quarterbacks. Like, almost every team in the league has something to look forward to. I said almost every team in the league when it comes to quarterback play. That's the really cool part about it. There are so many good young quarterbacks in this league now.
Let me ask you this, and I hate to bring up bad moments for all my DeAndre Hopkins Texans fans.
I'm supposed to be doing this, not you.
Did you see the catch?
Yeah, over the three Bills.
Over the three Bills.
Yeah.
How crazy was that? I literally yelled. I'm watching the game, cleaning up my room, and I'm like, oh, he just caught that.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe he just caught that. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah, that was another bad moment for myself, because I watched that happen live, and somebody had, like, the greatest meme of the year. It wins all sports memes on Twitter. It was, what was it, Tyler? It was like,
how to embarrass four Bills on one play, I believe. Yes.
How to embarrass four Bills on one play. Who's the fourth Bill?
O'Brien.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow. They're so clever.
Yes. And, you know, the worst part about this is like, every single time DeAndre Hopkins makes a play, and it happens every single week, we have to constantly be reminded of,
oh, yeah,
Houston, what idiots you are.
Salt in the wound, man. Yeah. Salt in the wound every time he makes a play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just terrible. So thanks for bringing us down again, Cecil. We appreciate that.
I love you guys.
It's supposed to be me. I'm negative Nancy here. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts III in for the show, and Clint Sterner coming up next. With all of the uncertainty these days surrounding Houston sports, I think we're giving this guy way too much of a pass. We'll talk about it next. It's Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Welcome back in. It's Sports Radio 610. Sean Bajani and Cecil Shorts III in for Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner today. Appreciate you joining us. If you'd like to be a part of the show, 713-572-4610, 572-4610. You can call or text. So we've been talking a lot about all day, really, the uncertainty surrounding our organizations, in particular the Houston Texans, certainly. And they catch most of the criticism and attention, not just here, but really throughout the city. And, you know, look, nationally, unfortunately, this season in particular. But I thought of, you know, something earlier today, given the news regarding Carlos Correa, the report by Ken Rosenthal this morning on The Athletic of the Astros shopping Carlos Correa because they apparently have interest in free agent and former Yankee infielder DJ LeMahieu. Is the uncertainty surrounding the Houston Astros and what we don't know about their front office and the men making their decisions right now, in particular, general manager James Click. We know a little bit about his resume and where he'd come from in terms of Tampa Bay and, you know, the things that he's done there. And we've seen Tampa Bay really build a good farm system, acquire a lot of young talent. They've got a good organization going on over there now. That's a dangerous organization. We've seen that, especially here in recent years. The Astros have felt a little bit of the brunt of that themselves in recent years. In fact, this past postseason, a hell of a series against the Rays. But in terms of making key decisions, Cecil, important decisions that are going to impact the future of this franchise that has been struck in to its own doing, the cheating scandal.
Mm-hmm.
No Jeff Luhnow, no A.J. Hinch. You lose the best at both positions over the course of the last year. And it's just been that kind of season, that kind of year, really, for Houston sports. But now we're entrusting James Click to make the right decision, spend money wisely on a couple of important players. Really, three that I can make mention of, and that's Michael Brantley, George Springer, and Carlos Correa. Correa is not a free agent until after the 21 season. Springer and Brantley are free agents now.
Mm-hmm.
And Springer probably the most highly sought after hitter on the market today. So when you're talking about heart and soul, when you're talking about the mouthpiece, when you're talking about guys that make this organization go round, you used to include Jose Altuve into that, and then Carlos Correa burst onto the scene and almost literally saved them before this season and became their leader. And George Springer's been playing at an MVP caliber now for a couple of years and been in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Altuve was tired, man. Jose Altuve was not having fun this season. Jose Altuve was so over it, he needed somebody to take the reins, and those two guys did. And now you might be operating in the future without both of those guys. That's going to be tough. It's what James Click is charged with making a decision, and I don't think it's a very difficult one, to be honest with you.
Oh, it's not difficult, you think?
No.
Signing everybody back.
I'm signing Springer, and I'm signing Correa. And I'm giving Correa his very large extension right now.
So you're giving it to him?
Absolutely. I think he's earned it. I understand the injury concern.
Yes, that's what concerns me. Year after year, same stuff after same stuff, YouTube video after YouTube video. It's always that's what
God, you remember that? I've moved on.
I think talent-wise, he's obviously one of the best in his position.
Yes.
Easy. But how many games will he play for you? So if you give him $300 million, I need him to play a lot of games. I don't need him to be missing 50, 40 games a year. I need him to be consistently on the field. And I'm just not sure if he'll be on the diamond that much for that amount of money.
You're right, because of recent history.
Yes.
But again, it's a difficult decision when it's your money, right? And you're running the organization. I understand that. But at the age of 26, okay, and the type of production that he had from 16 to 18, and look, he's not played more than 110 games but once in his career. Played 153 in 2016 after his stellar rookie year. I get it. But to me, he is an emerging superstar. And we saw it again this postseason, after a horrible regular season by all of those guys. I mean, it was just up and down. Nobody could get in a real rhythm from pitching to hitting.
Yeah.
Just it was culture issues, just like it's been throughout this city with these organizations, Rockets and Texans included. The Astros felt the brunt of that this year. I just think he's emerging. He's young enough. And as much as you can say, yeah, I'm betting against him staying healthy, I could make the argument that for a 26-year-old superstar, when he is healthy, I think it's a good bet to make on him for the future.
When he is healthy, he is one of the best easily. I mean, he's outstanding. Whether it's in the field, whether it's at the bat, he is outstanding. Looking at James Click's history and where he came from, started as an intern in 05, I believe it was, with the Tampa Bay, worked his way up, and how Tampa Bay moved when he was there.
Right.
I'm not sold that they're going to pay all of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
They're more on the let's trade, see what prospects we can get, build those guys up, and build from within and pay maybe a veteran here or there. But I don't see Click going after and paying these guys a super amount of money. I'm not sold just based on his past. Now, he is because he was baseball operations there, wasn't he? with Tampa Bay for a little bit. So maybe he maybe do things different here. But and then we got different players here. When you got spring guys like Springer, when you got like guys like Correa, and you got Brantley, who was outstanding for us last year, this may be different. You might want to keep this nucleus together a little longer or as long as you can. But I just don't see him making a big splash like that and paying somebody a ton of money forward.
Even if you
– this off his history.
Even if you don't sign Carlos Correa, okay, and what – if you sign him to a long-term deal in upwards of $150 million, $200 million, whatever it is.
Who's this? I'm sorry.
Carlos Correa. Okay. If you didn't want to pay him that money, you're still going to pay DJ LeMahieu if, in fact, the rumor is true, the report is true, and the Astros want LeMahieu in effort to trade Carlos Correa. You're still going to pay DJ LeMahieu probably 5 years, $100 million plus. That's currently the report of negotiations that he's having with the New York Yankees. So there's the market for DJ LeMahieu. And that's not a bad deal for a guy who is a legitimate MVP candidate and is a damn good hitter. It's just when you're talking about a culture change, you know, for a guy that had to shoulder so much this past season in Jose Altuve and finally got some help towards the end of the season, into the postseason from George Springer and Michael Brantley, and in particular Carlos Correa, to take the leadership vocally especially role. To lose a guy like that, but to gain the amount of production that you could from DJ LeMahieu with a cornerstone piece of Altuve and Bregman, and to me you would have to retain or Michael Brantley or George Springer. You could do worse. That would soften the blow if you got LeMahieu and kept one or two of those guys.
I just got a text from my boy Jason. He said, keep Correa, but he needs to be the one to sacrifice the payday to keep the studs together. So he's saying keep Correa, and he needs to take less money to keep everybody else here together in Houston. How you feel about that?
I don't know. I'm thinking, all right, well, why does he need to be the guy? You know, Jose Altuve signed an earlier contract than he probably needed to with Scott Boras as his agent, by the way. Probably would have gotten a ton more money on the market if he would have waited a little bit. Alex Bregman, same situation. You know, probably would have gotten a ton more money on the market if he would have waited a little bit. Carlos Correa, what behooves him to signing a contract now? Wouldn't that, in essence, be taking a little bit of a hometown discount if you sign the long-term deal this year versus
hitting the market?
Mm. You sign a long-term deal this year and he produces, you could still trade him because it would be a friendly contract in comparison to what he would have commanded on an open market.
Well, talk to me. Why trade for DJ? What is DJ bringing to the table that Correa doesn't? What's the difference?
Well,
what's the similarities?
That's kind of the question
why
I'm asking.
Why trade for him?
That's kind of why I'm against this, because what does he bring to the table that Carlos Correa doesn't? Well, probably health is number one.
Health, yeah, for sure.
But two, who's been more vested and took a leadership role of this organization in the year that it needed the most other than Carlos Correa?
So you're saying he stepped up in the time of need this year?
Absolutely.
Through the adversity, he was the guy that had his guys back, that he was the one that led them to the run that they did make.
I think that was a huge spark. And by the way, DJ LeMahieu's 32 years old. He's 6 years older. You know, and you're going to pay that guy 5 years, $100 million, 5 years, $115 million, 6 years, $125 million, something like that. When you've got the future literally in front of you on your team right now in 26-year-old Carlos Correa, but you're going to let a few injury-hampered seasons affect that. I get it from a business sense. It might be a much more tougher decision than I'm making it out to be, but when you have to recognize brilliance and excellence when it's in front of you, and sometimes you just can't let that walk away.
What is Click going to do? I know what you want to do. I know you want to keep everybody. You want to keep the Brady Bunch together. What is Click going to do? What will he make happen?
I don't know. It's kind of like what domino falls first, right? Is it Correa? Is it Springer and Brantley out, or are they in? Because if he decides to let George Springer walk, and let Michael Brantley walk, well, you give Carlos Correa their money, don't you? Because George Springer is going to command a hell of a lot of money as well on the open market.
When he hits the market, yes, he is.
Michael Brantley is going to get a really good deal.
Brantley's older, right?
Yes.
But he'll still get good money on the market.
He's one of the best hitters on the team last year. He's Mr. 300. I mean, that's one of the most consistent hitters in all of baseball. The thing is if those guys don't come back, you give Carlos Correa the money now. The question is will he take your money now, or is he going to wait?
Ty, what do you think, Ty?
Man, we better find a way to keep Los. That's all I know. Got to find a way. I don't care who signs a check. I don't care what it's just, for. Find a way.
Just think about it. You know, there's strong potential for J.J. Watt, Carlos Correa, George Springer, James Harden, Russell Westbrook,
yeah,
all in the course of just a few months' time, having played games for you and then not playing for any of these franchises anymore in just a few months' time. And you go again from a potential golden era of Houston sports to,
wow,
everybody's a cultural mess and everybody needs to retool and rebuild.
Woo!
Hashtag gotta love Houston sports.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Sorry. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts. And I say all that to say this. Do we really know and can we trust? I mean, it's not in Morey we trust. That's gone. Literally. How much can we trust James Click to keep the stars of this franchise together here? I mean, I feel like the Astros are like that one franchise that's just like barely hanging on that we have to hang our hat on ourselves. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. What do you think? Cecil Shorts III and Sean Bajani in for Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. Coming up next, the Texans head coach listener bracket. The final four is here. We'll give you today's matchup coming up next. You only have about an hour and a half left to vote on this. You can check it out at sportsradio610.com as well. We'll talk about it next. Stay there.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Sports Radio 610 welcomes you back. I'm Sean Bajani alongside former Houston Texan wide receiver Cecil Shorts III in for Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner today. So we've got our Texans head coach listener bracket, and it's down to the final four. So yesterday's matchup between Eric Bieniemy and Dabo Sweeney was a landslide. I was actually a little surprised to see it end up like this. But Bieniemy took it over Dabo Sweeney 75% to 25% on our poll. So we've got, what time can they vote tell, Tyler? Is it 5 or 5:30?
I believe it's 5:45.
5:45? Okay, mm-hmm. So you got about an hour and change left to get your votes in at sportsradio610.com, our head coach's listener bracket. Today's matchup, Robert Saleh and Matt Eberflus, defensive coordinator for the 49ers, and Robert Saleh, former Houston Texan defensive quality control guy under Gary Kubiak, and Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus. Who do you think would win out to be become the next potential Texans head football coach?
Well, who would I vote for?
Who would you vote for?
I would vote for Saleh just because, and you have some similarities when it comes to this. Like, I know him a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we were in Jacksonville together for a few years, and he came from the Seattle Seahawks because he was, I don't know if he started off there or maybe started in Houston.
Yeah, he started in Houston. His second year here with the Texans was mm-hmm. my first year here at the station.
Okay. So he from there, he went ended up going to Seattle, but he was in Seattle with Gus Bradley when Gus Bradley was the defensive coordinator. Gus Bradley had a few good years, ended up getting a head coaching job with the Jacksonville Jaguars and brought Saleh over. The energy that he brings, the way he communicates with his players, the way he gets his guys to buy into what he's doing. I believe he was a linebacker coach in Jacksonville, and he had those guys rolling. Like the way he gets his guys to believe in themselves and believe in him, I would want to play for that guy. So for me personally, I think Robert would be a very good pick.
He's paid his dues, man. Like,
he really
you look
has,
at his resume,
man.
He's been all over the place. You know, he started at Michigan State as a defensive assistant, then the Central Michigan, Georgia, spent 6 years with the Texans, anywhere from a defensive intern to working his way up to assistant linebacker coach. You mentioned he was in Seattle as a, you know, back down to defensive quality control guy, to linebackers in Jacksonville, and now D.C. with the San Francisco 49ers. And you look at what his defense has done in San Francisco in the last few years. I mean, look, last year was was tremendous. I mean, across the board, I mean, he was top 10 almost in every defensive category possible. And this year, look, they're very good, too. They're very good, too. They've been kind of decimated by injury, though.
Yeah.
And I think what they've been able to do, given their injuries this year.
I agree.
You have to give him his props for that as well. But, yes. Yeah, when you're a leader of men, that is a quality not everybody has.
And you know it because you're over at North Shore and you see what Mr. K does over there and how he leads and how he's consistent with his approach and how he's that translated to wins, right? So for me, seeing this, but I also like his system. I think the system that he'll bring here for the defensive side of the ball, right, the 4-3, the cover 3, I think is simple enough. I think it can be effective with the guy that you have here. I think it'll be better for the back end, and I think he'll find guys that can, because JJ's on his way out, right, but he can maneuver or he can develop defensive ends, defensive tackles, linebackers, and really get them to play in his system. He can bring his guys in, and it's not a hard system. You know what you're going to get. If you execute it at the highest level, it's very successful. You've seen it in Seattle. You've seen it the last couple of years in San Francisco, and I think you can do it here.
Here's the interesting part about these matchups the last couple of days is Eric Bieniemy and Dabo Swinney. A couple of offensive guys, and you get a couple of defensive guys. you can't really lean one way or the other in terms of like, well, you know, typically it would be an offensive coach. Well, you kind of been there, done that. But how important is it? Like, you know, you're going to roll forward. We talked about this earlier. You're going to roll forward with Deshaun Watson, your franchise guy, seek a lot of his input. Is it important? I never really understood, I guess, the importance, or maybe it's something that we overstate sometimes, of who should be the head coach. Should it be more of an offensive-centric kind of a guy? Should it be more of a defensive-centric kind of a guy? How do you see that? What's been your experience as a player with some of the coaches that you've been under?
To be honest, I don't think it matters. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I think if you look at some of the guys that are defensive coordinators or defensive-minded guys that become head coaches, the head coach of the offense is the OC. You know what I mean? So that's the guy they're going to be communicating with 95% of the time. So it really doesn't matter if the head coach is the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, or the offensive mind, to say, or defensive mind. To me, it's who you surround Deshaun with. So if you say Salah's the guy or the guy from the Colts, say he's the guy. If you give him a good coordinator he trusts, he can build a relationship with, and they surround him and put him in the best situations to succeed, great. We're good to go.
Yeah.
Because defense is a need that we need to improve on, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Same thing with offense. If you hire an offensive guy that's going to be surrounded with Deshaun, but you got to hire a defensive coordinator that will be the head coach of the defense, that will be a guy that can develop these guys, develop John Reed, develop Gennard, develop Black Ross Blacklock, Ross Blacklock, develop these young guys, this young talent, into what they can help us, they can contribute. That's what you want, right? So I think it's just a matter of who fits what Kyle and the Texans culture, what they want to build here best, right?
Right.
I don't think it matters personnel-wise. Yes, you want somebody that can complement Deshaun, but I mean, if you can find a nice OC, you'd be good to go. So I'm just not sold on it has to be a defensive guy or it has to be an offensive guy. No, find the best leader and then go from there.
Almost for the sake of, you know, the purpose of this bracket, right? You know, you can kind of find some different things to compare and make arguments for. I look at Matt Eberflus, well, defensive coordinator the last 3 years for a divisional opponent, a team that has routinely had your number over the years.
Yes.
A team that would by that point be very familiar with your organization and what you like to do, what you liked to do that clearly hasn't necessarily been working in some facets, right? So I think between Eberflus and Saleh, who has obviously a previous relationship here with the Texans as a defensive quality control guy under Kubiak, he knows some people, knows maybe a little less about how the organization is now versus what Eberflus is because he game plans for him, you know, a couple of times a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, more NFL experience, right, is something I think you have to look at. Matt Eberflus is a guy who's got a wealth of NFL and collegiate experience, you know, from Toledo, Missouri in college, to the Browns, to a lot of years with the Cowboys before becoming DC with the Indianapolis Colts. I'm kind of leaning Matt Eberflus, you know, to be honest with you. Obviously, from what he's a part of, like, a very class organization now. And you talk about a quick turnaround.
Yes.
Just what has it been? Three years, 4 years with the Indianapolis Colts, where, you know, they were the butt of a lot of the jokes as well. You know, with Jim Irsay struggling, you know, to put a GM in place, having him make good moves, get a coach and a quarterback that's healthy, put the players around Andrew Luck. Then they weren't able to do that routinely. I don't know. I'm looking at that situation now, and I'm like, boy, that's a class organization, and it's turned it around over the course of the last 2-3 years.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with Jim Irsay, but struggling in other areas. But, no, you're right. He has firsthand seen a franchise that was struggling and was a part of the turnaround, right? He was a part of it.
Yeah.
He's seen this guy. He's seen the GM work. He's worked in with the head coach, so he's seen how to turn a franchise around quickly and get back on the winning path. So that's a great point by you. But I can say the same thing with Robert Saleh. He's been a part of Super Bowl runs. He's been a part of one in Seattle and then one in San Francisco. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, honestly, you might not be able to go wrong in a situation. It's just, who do you think is a better fit for what we have here?
Yeah, well,
players that we got.
That's the question. Cecil Shorts the third, Sean Bajani in for Ron the Show, Hughley, and Clint Sterner on Sports Radio 610. Kind of brings me back to something that we talked about a little bit earlier when I said, you know, to me, one of the most important things moving forward for this Texans organization is, you know, what can be done to, you know, rectify and not mask this team going forward. You know, you got to figure out who's going to be some of your dudes in the future.
Yeah.
Right. You got to find, like, Kahale Waring, who was activated off of IR yesterday. I don't know if he plays or not any at tight end between now and the end of the season. I mean, heck, if Deshaun Watson keeps doing what he's doing and making Pharaoh Brown, you know, look as good as he's looked, getting production out of Darren Fells and Jordan Akins, who's looked really good as well the last few weeks. Maybe it's just special teams. I don't know. You got to figure out, like, there's guys like Kahale Waring and younger guys that are playing now that are going to be a part of this team and that aren't going to be a part of this team. I want as many of those guys on tape.
Yeah.
So the prospective head coach is coming in here and looking at that, and they have something really good to go off of. I don't want them sitting down and pouring over hours and hours and hours and hours of tape trying to do double the work. You know what I'm saying? Like, have an idea already. Like, let's put it all out there on the table for everybody to see, because I want my prospective head coach and GM to already be doing the work.
Yeah.
There are some cases, I said these to you earlier, I think it was off mic though, there are probably some prospective GMs and head coaches right now that have put in the work on this organization. They want this job, whether it be GM or head coach, and they're just waiting for that to be opened up for the interview process. They might even know a little bit more about the organization than some people currently working for it. And that's the kind of guy that I want. Somebody that's going to, I mean, it's kind of like, isn't like a number one rule when you go and interview for a job, you should probably know a little bit about the place that you're going to look for work mm-hmm. at. Like, they're going to ask you questions, and it should not always be them asking you questions. You should be asking them questions like, hey, why should I want to work here? Kind of stuff. You know, let me learn a little bit more about you. That's kind of the way I see the prospective GM and head coach at this point. Like, they should be pouring their heart and souls into this organization and learning as much as they possibly can about the players. Hey, let's do them a solid and give them something to look at.
No, that's fair enough. I just want them to do that within still trying to win, if that makes sense. Like, I don't want them to, because there's no point in tanking.
You're not getting the first and second round.
You don't have a first, second round pick, so there's no point in doing that.
Hey, but my point is, ultimately, the Texans are the team that don't play their draft picks the most. They don't play young guys. It's like, let's play these dudes and see what they got.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of what I don't want to wait till training camp. That may not happen again.
Yes.
I don't want to wait till OTAs that may not happen again. Like, you don't know. Like, we just got struck with a pandemic for 9 months. God knows what else could be around the corner in 2021.
That's the thing. You're probably helping out the future head coach and GM by putting them in and letting them get filmed, so that way they can evaluate their full team and not just the guys that play. So you can see, maybe even trying to get Andy I call him Andy Heck because his dad name was Andy Heck. The tackle, we just drafted this year.
Charlie
Heck. There it is, Charlie.
Chuck.
His dad was Andy. I played with Andy in Jacksonville. He was an O-line coach. He's actually the O-line coach with the Kansas City Chiefs now, doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I want to see Isaiah Coulter.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see Blacklock play more. I want to see, I got these names written down, John Gennard. He played well last week. John Reed. I want to see these guys. He did have a sack. I want to see these guys play more, but within a package. So maybe have a package for Reed. Maybe have a package for Isaiah Coulter. Maybe a package for Kahale Waring. That's a third-round pick going back to Waring. You got to see what you're paying for. You have to. I don't know how you do it. I don't know when you do it. I just don't know. I'm not in that position. I'm not trying to make that decision. But when you put a third-round pick on a guy – that nobody expected you to draft, and then all this hype is around him, but you don't play him. You know, we have to see. And for your future GM, your future head coach, these guys have to play.
You coach high school football.
Yes, sir.
I coach middle school football. You have to play your depth to know if you can play your depth.
That's the only way.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, the practice field just isn't good enough sometimes.
Yes.
Like, You know this as well as I do, Cecil, like from your coaching now to even playing in the NFL for all the years that you did, like there's practice players and then there's like dudes that show up on Sunday.
Yeah.
There's dudes that show up on Saturday. There's dudes right now that you have show up on Friday night that you're like, damn, bro.
Yes.
Like, where you been?
Where was this at Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah, you know?
For sure.
And so, like, I've never understood the Houston Texans' reluctancy to not play their young guys because – and I'm not throwing shade just to throw shade, but, I mean, you're not that good across the board to where those guys can't see the field. Mm. Like, I think sometimes, and maybe we're starting to hear it, maybe we're starting to see it, where Anthony Weaver will stand and bang on a table for his guys, and Romeo Crennel, you know, will trust his guys to make plays. Like, you wear a number on this team for a reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick your ass out there, and you're going to go make some plays for me. And if you don't, well, you're going to get better on the practice field, but I got to see what we got.
Well, I tell you what, there's no better situation to be in where you're 3-7. Why not just, you have nothing to lose. You really have nothing to lose. Go out there, play some of those young guys, see what they can do, again, within a package, trying to win the game. But let's see him, man. And it'll be fun for us to see, okay, can this guy really play? And maybe he goes out there and makes plays. Maybe he struggles the first game, but as the games go on, he gets better and better. Because you only get better with the more reps 100%. That you get.
I mean, that's like the one thing that you have to hold on to, right? I mean, it's not like you can be rooting for this team to, like, get the best possible draft pick position.
Yeah,
you don't have a first-round pick. You don't have a second-round pick. Now I'm rooting for my team to play those dudes that are going to be a part of my team in the coming years.
Yeah.
So I want to see those guys. 713-572-4610, 572-4610. If you'd like to call or text, be a part of the show, you can do that. Sean Bajani, Cecil Shorts III. I want to remind you that this Thanksgiving, we're teaming up with the Houston Texans Foundation for Texans Care for Texans. It's presented by Kroger. A life-changing goal has been set for feeding 500,000 Houston families this Thanksgiving. Just a couple of more days left to make this happen. It goes all through the Houston Food Bank. Just one of your dollars. $1 provides 3 meals, and you can donate now at sportsradio610.com/texanscare. That's sportsradio610.com/texanscare. Thank you in advance for making a difference for our community. Coming up next, we've got the 5 o'clock fire. That's next at Sports Radio 610.
It's going to start a fire!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.